who's thrown their whole life away. Feeling completely unworthy to mention his name. For every soul that's been shattered by choices you made, the Father still hears every prayer that a broken heart prays. Just when you thought you could somehow outrun him, you chased.
Wasn't that a beautiful song? And he sang it so well. We're thankful for Sung. We're thankful for each member of our church. And for a small church, we have a lot of musical talent. And we're thankful. Yes, let's give a hand to all those who sing and Randy's leadership and everything. It's such a blessing. From the worship team to the blended choir to the kids' choir to the soloists, they're all a blessing to me, and I'm glad to be a part of it. Shall we just look to the Lord in a word of prayer this morning? We're thankful, Father, that we can come into your presence. We had a beautiful time at the breaking of bread today, sharing and praying and worshiping you, and so we pray that you'll quiet our hearts now to receive the word through the Holy Spirit, Lord, that you will speak to us and help us to apply your word in our lives, to grow in our faith, to be all that you want us to be. Lord, we're not perfect. We're still a work in progress, but we thank you that soon we're going to be in your presence and we'll see you face to face and we'll be as you are, Lord, in your glory. And so we're thankful for today and pray you'll lead us and guide us. Please hide me behind the cross. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. When I was growing up as a child, I never went on a trip by myself without my parents. I never did. But I did see sometimes kids that did go on a plane, for example, without their parents. And I always thought, you know, that must be difficult. I mean, they might get a little scared, a little nervous, being on the flight by themselves, all alone. And it reminds me of this story that I'm going to tell you about a little girl who was unaccustomed to taking the train through the country. And it happened one day that she was riding the train and she started to worry. And that's why I say this is why the parent could be there to really support and encourage her. But she started to worry. How are we on this train going to cross these rivers and these streams around us? How are we going to make it across? This is a heavy train. How are we going to do it? How's it going to work? And so she started to get fearful. She started to doubt. She started to worry. She couldn't understand it. And then, as the train was going down the tracks, she noticed that there was a bridge. That was a bridge over this river, this wide river. And it worked. She made it across the bridge. And then as they went a little further, this happened two or three more times across streams and rivers. And she was wonderfully impressed by it. And so finally, this child leaned back with a sigh of relief and confidence, knowing that the engineer was taking her across that bridge on that train. And we're so thankful because so many times in our Christian lives, we're saved by faith, but we need to walk by faith. We need to live by faith. And so many times, we're like this little girl. We see what bad things might happen instead of considering what good God is going to bring in our lives. So we start looking at the negative. We look at the dark clouds. We look at the huge mountains and the huge problems ahead of us. But we should be those who put our faith and trust completely in the Lord Jesus Christ each and every day of our lives. He is our bridge. Over Troubled Waters. There's a song by that title, Bridge Over Troubled Waters. We probably all know it. We've all heard it. But Jesus is that bridge because he gets us from one point to the other by his grace every single day. I know that I would not be here today were it not for the grace of God. I wouldn't. I've been through health problems. I've been through all kinds of things in my life. But I'm thankful that I can say this today. Faith is the victory. That's our title today. Faith is the victory. We sang that hymn. And we're going to look at a man named Caleb from the Old Testament in the book of Numbers. Caleb was one of the 12 spies along with Joshua and then the other 10. And Caleb was a man of faith. He was a man of courage. He was a man of commitment to the Lord. Nothing fazed him. Even though the other spies were bringing a bad report, Caleb, along with Joshua, brought a good part. And we're going to read today. There's a few verses, so let's read them together. You can have your Bible. We're going to put them on the screen from Numbers 13, 26 to 33. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran at Kadesh. And they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, "We went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea along the banks of the Jordan." Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, "The land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants. And all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature." May God bless the reading of his word. You know, it's all about perspective. Here you have on one side all these 10 spies that all they could see was giants, fortified cities, impossible circumstances, something that couldn't be done. And on the other hand, Caleb and Joshua, they saw the giants. They saw the fortified walls. They saw it all too. But their perspective was, God is bigger. God is stronger. God is able to help us win the victory. And they saw that faith was victorious for them. And the three things that we're going to look at today, they all begin with S, and they're all encouraging to our hearts. Number one, faith that is sure. Number two, faith that is strong. And number three, faith that is steadfast. So let's look at our first point today. But before I do, I want to quote George Mueller. I love George Mueller because he cared for these orphans. And a lot of times he would pray and they didn't have any food and the Lord would send it. And he had tremendous faith. Well, George Mueller once said, "Faith does not operate in the realm of the possible. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Faith begins where man's power ends." And isn't that true? We've all found it true in our lives. We've come to a place where we see we can't do it. We can't figure it out. We can't possibly. And yet God has a way. And he gives the victory. So let's look at our first point today. sure faith. That is a great word, sure. It means you're certain of it. It means you're confident in it. It means you don't doubt it. You put all your reliance in it. Their faith is what they believed in, and they had no doubts and no second thoughts. And that's what's so beautiful about Caleb. His confidence was not in himself or their army. His confidence was in the Lord. His faith was in the Lord. And he believed we can go up right now and we can take it. We can win it. We can do it because of the Lord. Caleb, like Joshua, they had seen what God had done because they were the only two left that went into the promised land who left Egypt. And they were old by the later times here, too, by the time they got there and everything. They had seen it all. They had seen slavery in Egypt, and then they saw how God delivered them from Egypt and how he slew Pharaoh and all his army, drowned them in the Red Sea, and how they crossed over the Red Sea, and how they were hungry and thirsty, and God provided for them. He gave them manna to eat every single day. He provided quail for them to eat for a whole month, and he brought water out of a rock. What more could God have done? He did miracle after miracle after miracle. But before we blame these people, sometimes God has done in our lives miracle after miracle after miracle. He's answered so many prayers, and yet we get into these tough situations, and what's the first thing? We're like this little girl. How are we going to cross this river? It's too deep. It's too wide. And yet with the Lord, nothing is impossible. And he can do it all. Thomas Aquinas once said, faith has to do with things that are not seen and hope with things that are not at hand. And that's the kind of faith the Lord wants us to have, a faith that is reliant. You know, this pulpit is solid. It's solid. And that reminds me of how solid the Lord is in our lives and how solid our faith should be in him, because he's proved himself time and time again in our lives. What more does he have to show us? He's done so much. He saved us from our sins when we ask him to come into our lives. And we confessed our sins. We repented. We came to Christ and believed in him. And now in our lives, he's with us each and every day. But there's going to be trials. There's going to be difficulties. There's going to be hardships. And so we have to face them with faith. And the way our faith grows stronger is through trials and difficulties. There's no other way. You can't do it. You can't have a bed of ease and expect your faith to grow. It doesn't happen that way. We have to go through the hard times. And then when we do that, he will encourage us. Notice that Caleb quieted the people. I like this. He quieted the people. All the noise. Stop all the noise and listen to what I'm going to tell you. God is able and more than able. We oftentimes sing that in the worship team, and I love it every time we sing it. He is able and more than able to accomplish what concerns me today. He is able, more than able, to handle anything that comes my way. We're so thankful that he does that for us. He proves himself to us. He helps us in adversity and trials and difficulties, whether it's with loss or affliction, adversity, trouble. These things come into our lives for a reason. God has a purpose for them, and he allows it, and he wants us to grow from it. He wants our faith to grow from it. In Mark chapter 11, verse 22, there's four words I'd like you to notice here that will change your life completely. It says, so Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. It just doesn't say have faith. A lot of people say have faith. But who are they saying to have faith in? The circumstance? No. Themselves? No. We have to have faith in God. He's the only one we can really count on. Others may let us down, but God is always going to provide for us and help us. Paul had this same kind of faith in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 12. These are triumphant words. It says, "For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I've committed to him until that day." Your trial is not too big for God. Your affliction, your sorrow, whatever you're going through right now, and only the Lord knows what's in everyone's heart right now and what you're going through in your life. But one thing we can say for certain, we need to have a sure faith in the Lord in all these things. Yes, Caleb saw the giants, but he saw them as grasshoppers, whereas the other spies saw themselves as grasshoppers and these giants as too strong for them. But we're thankful that God is able to overcome anything in our lives. You can ask yourself the question, what giant do I have in my life right now? What giant am I facing right now? What mountain seems unclimbable? What circumstances seem impossible? What sea seems uncrossable? Is your faith sure? Is it solid? Will it count when you're under the pressure of the trial? Will it hold up? Is it that kind of sure faith that will hold up under the unbelievable circumstances that sometimes come into our lives? So that's our first point today, sure faith. Secondly, Caleb had a strong faith. It wasn't just a sure faith, but it was a strong faith. And he believed in the Lord. He saw God working in his life, and he trusted in him. I just read a Morning and Evening by Spurgeon. I've been reading Spurgeon every day, and I read Max Lucado every day. Two devotionals. And they're such a blessing. And Spurgeon had one on faith this week. He happened to have it on Friday. And this is what he said. "If you want to find men who serve God best, you must look for men of faith. Little faith will save a man, but little faith cannot do great things for God." There, we all are familiar with that expression, is little faith will bring your soul to heaven. Great faith will bring heaven to your soul. And that is so true. And so we want to have a greater faith. We want to have a stronger faith. We want to have a faith that's based on the Lord and what He is, who He is, and what He has done for us. A strong faith. A strong faith is like Caleb had. He could visualize the victory before they won the victory. How do you do that? He could vision the answer before the answer came. He could visualize the solution before the solution came. That's because he had the faith in the Lord to know that God made a promise that he would take them into the land of promise, land of Canaan, the promised land. And he believed that promise was going to take place, and it did. And that's what we have to remember from God's word. We need to claim his promises and know that he will come through for us. St. Augustine once said, "Faith is to believe what we do not see, and the reward of faith is to see what we believe." I like that very much. When Jesus was called because Lazarus was sick, he waited a few days before he went there. And when he went there, Lazarus had already died. Talk about hopeless. He was already dead. And he was not only dead, but he had been in the tomb for 4 days. 4 days. And yet, Jesus brought hope to them. He brought the confidence that he would raise up Lazarus from the dead. And it says in John 11 and 40, I love this verse. It's such a great life verse. It says, "Did I not say to you, that if you would believe, you would receive the glory. You would see the glory of God. The thing about a Christian is we have to believe first, then we're going to see. The world puts it exactly backwards. They say, seeing is believing. Prove it to me. Show me. And God says, believe first, and then you'll see what I'll do for you. And that's what he does in our lives. It's such a blessing. Yes, our God is strong, and he is able, and more than able. A.W. Tozer once said, God is looking for people that he can do, through whom he can do the impossible. What a pity that we plan only the things that we can do by ourselves. We look at the thing, right? We plan what we can do. We plan out our day. I got to do this and this and this. But where's the Lord in that equation? Where's the Lord in it? Sometimes we get so overwhelmed in the details of life, in the difficulties of life, that we fail to realize that the Lord is with us in that trial, in that situation. And he will carry us through to the end. And our faith will be victorious. Hebrews 11:6 is another great verse. It says, but without faith, it is impossible, impossible to please God. That really convicts me because my faith is not when I need it to be. It needs to be more sure. It needs to be more strong. It needs to be more steadfast. But here he says it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's the kind of faith that we need to have. Yes, we ask God for great things. We ask God in great faith, and he will do it because of his great ways. This verse that I'm going to quote next is John chapter 5 and verse 4, which is really similar to what the hymn was that we sang this morning. First John 5, 4. If I put John, please forgive me. First John 5, 4 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Isn't that amazing? What has overcome the world is our faith. Because why? Not because we have that faith. It's because of who the faith is in. Like I mentioned the airplane, there's a lot of crashes nowadays. But you get into the aircraft and you have to put your confidence in that plane. You have to have confidence in it that it's going to get you to where you're going. And you trust the pilot and the co-pilot and the navigator and all those on board the plane. But still, with all of that, it's the source of who you're trusting that you're counting on. And sometimes it doesn't work. But with the Lord, we know he is the source that will never fail us, never let us down, and never fail to help us. We need to have that strong faith. So we've seen sure faith. We've seen strong faith, and the third one is steadfast faith. I did a devotion a while back on being steadfast, and I came across a definition of steadfast, and it says this: steadfast means resolutely or dutifully firm and unwavering, firmly fixed in place. Yes. Not subject to change, firm in belief, determination, or adherence. When you're steadfast, you're resilient. You keep going no matter what. And that's the kind of faith we have to have, that believes in the Lord and doesn't give up and just keeps looking to him. And the question is, does my faith stand the test of time? Does my faith hold up? Or will it fall apart at the wrong time? And he wants us to have that same kind of faith that Caleb had. 1 Corinthians 16:13 says these beautiful words. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. This is a great verse on faith. Stand fast in the faith. And that sometimes is so hard to do because everything around us is caving in, falling apart, getting worse and worse, but we have to be steadfast in the Lord. One brother years ago said it this way, when you have an orange and you squeeze that orange, what comes out is that sweet orange juice. When God squeezes us, what comes out? It should be the sweet juice of Jesus. That should come out. And it will really test us to see how we're going to handle it. But Caleb was unwavering in his convictions and in the promises of God. He decided to follow the Lord. He dedicated himself to following the Lord. And he declared his faith in the Lord, no matter what anybody else said. There were 10 spies that gave a bad report. Now, they all agreed it was a fruitful land, a land flowing with milk and honey. But where the difference was, as I mentioned, the 10 looked at what couldn't be done, what challenges it were with these giants and the fortified cities and all that they had to face. And yet Caleb and Joshua saw all the same things, but they saw how the Lord could give them the victory and give them this promised land that he promised them. And that's what he did. He did it for them. He was faithful. Caleb was loyal and obedient, and there was no room for compromise in his life. Caleb reminds me of somebody who's like cast iron. Cast iron is pretty strong. If you ever get hit on the head with a cast iron, you're not going to be conscious. You're going to be out because that is strong. And we want to have that kind of faith that is like cast iron, steadfast in the Lord, doesn't give up. And that's the way he wants us to be. One of our best presidents and best generals was Dwight D. Eisenhower. Eisenhower, like Washington, George Washington, were both generals before they were presidents. There weren't very many like that. Oh, some were senators first, and some were governors first, and so forth, but there were very few that were generals. We had only a few like this. Ulysses S. Grant was another one that was a great general and became the president of the United States. And so this is what Dwight Eisenhower said. He said, there is no victory. There is no victory at bargain basement prices. In other words, the victory is going to take work and effort, but the Lord is going to help us to overcome it. We must persevere until the end. Until the finish line. We all know about some athletes that we've seen it in track and field and other sports where they have started the celebration before the event is over. You see a football player running down the field, and before he gets into the end zone, he loses the ball and it goes into the end, and it's a touchback and you get nothing out of it. Because he tried to celebrate before he crossed the goal line. Well, this happened to a cyclist by the name of Luka Pimpernik from Slovenia. He sprinted to the finish line. He raised his arms in victory. But the race wasn't over. There was one more lap remaining. He had persevered for a grueling 3.5 hours of cycling. But Pimpernick's strength was gone. He had nothing in the tank. Talk about an empty tank. He couldn't do it. He went from first place to 148th place because he didn't finish. We need the kind of faith that is steadfast, that is going to finish the race, finish to victory, and the Lord will do it. So let's be like Caleb today, dear ones. Let us have a faith that is sure, confident, and certain, to have a faith that is strong, that will hold up, and a faith that is steadfast, that keeps going, that does not let us down. What we believe and act on in our faith is what's really important in life. There's a hymn that I love so much, which is, "On Christ the Solid Rock I Stand." And one of the verses says, "When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." Let us put our faith in a great God. And let's have that sure, that strong, that steadfast faith. When we walk out the doors, when we go to work tomorrow, we go to school tomorrow, we're in retirement or whatever it is and whatever we face, to remember, have faith in God. Not in ourselves, not in others, but faith in God. Shall we just close in a word of prayer? Father, it's so challenging to me, and I pray that you'll increase my faith, Lord. Help me not to back down. Help me to stand up. Help me to stand firm. And I just pray all of us will, Lord. We just pray that you will help us to realize how great you are and what you can do. And help us not to think about the negative, about what might happen, what bad things may come about. But realize that you're going to work it out. And even if something happens that's difficult, you're going to cause it to work together for the good, Lord. And so we just thank you for today and pray you'll dismiss us with your blessing. Help us to go forth by faith, Lord, and walk in that faith. In Jesus' name, amen.